Stand up with me. If you can, stand up. Let's begin our service today at the first theme of the Advent hope. This is my Bible, God's holy word. A lamp unto my feet. A light unto my path. It is inerrant. It is infallible. It is authoritative. It is more powerful than any sharp two-edged sword. It is fire shut up in my bones. I must speak it. It is food for my soul. I'm ready to receive it. Now, before you sit down, if you don't mind, just kind of give someone a high five or whatever. Be kind of cognizant of the idea if they don't want you to touch them or anything like that. But welcome into the house of the Lord today. Okay, now just to give you a little bit of heads up, I'm going to be jumping all over the place, meaning scripture-wise, but I'll put the scriptures up there so you can write them down. You can turn to them if you want. All the scriptures will come out of the NIV translation today unless I tell you otherwise. As you heard us say, the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be doing a sermon series entitled The Songs of Christmas. The Songs of Christmas. The first one, obviously, we're going to look at today is O Come, Emmanuel. Now listen to this. Let me give you some of the history and the background of this particular hymn. It said, O Come, Emmanuel, may be the oldest Christmas carol still sung today. The author is unknown, but he is believed to have been a priest or a monk writing before 800 A.D. He obviously had a rich knowledge of both Old and New Testaments. Originally, the carol contained 7 different verses representing the different biblical views of the Messiah. One verse per day was sung or chanted during the last 7 days before Christmas. O come, Emmanuel, was first published in the 1850s in England. It's a simple, reverent tribute to the birth of Christ and to the fulfillment of God's promise to deliver His children from sin. It is the perfect song for us to begin our new sermon series today, The Songs of Christmas. Now, as you saw there, the author had in mind this particular song. He had in mind the passage in the book of Isaiah, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse. That particular passage was thousands of years before the coming of Jesus Christ that we celebrate here shortly on Christmas Day. But again, the scripture says, therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So let's look at that today, that God with us, the theme, the bottom line, the takeaway, the sticky point for today's sermon, God with us. Look at these 4 points. God with us meet our need to, the first one, know God and be known by God. Know God and be known by God. A freelance reporter from the New York Times once interviewed Marilyn Monroe. Everybody know who Marilyn Monroe is? Look in the audience, I think, based on the color of all of our hairs, we remember Marilyn Monroe, okay? But anyway, a freelance reporter from the New York Times once interviewed Marilyn Monroe. She was aware of Marilyn's past and the fact that during her early years, Marilyn had been shuffled from one foster home to another. I didn't know that about her. The reporter asked Marilyn, "Did you ever feel loved by any of the foster families with whom you lived?" She said, "Once," Marilyn replied, "when I was about 7 or 8, the woman I was living with was putting on her makeup, and I was watching her. She was in a happy mood, so she reached out over and patted my cheek with her rouge puff. For that moment, I felt loved by her." Tragedy of Christmas, a loneliness feeling. Statistically, around Christmas and New Year's, suicide spike. The amount of suicides go up. The suicide hotlines are more active. More depression around this time of the year. We start surveying past memories and past loved ones and past Christmases. And You know, Debbie and I, yesterday, we watched a movie that we hadn't seen since it is back in the 70s when her and I first met, back in the disco days. So it was bringing back memories, good memories, pleasant memories, because we both smiled. We both looked as not as probably as young as what John Travolta looked in that particular movie we was watching. I was just as skinny as he was back in the day. But this time of the year is a time that we need to understand when we sing that song, O come, Emmanuel, it's a song saying God with us and helps us know that this God of Christmas, we can know Him and we can be known by Him. He's not an impersonal God. He doesn't just create and then leave. He knows you. The scripture says He knows every hair on your head, implying that He knows everything about you. He knew that you were going to be here. He knew you were going to be born long before you were even born. So this God that we're celebrating in this birth of Jesus, we can know Him and we can be known by Him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, the Apostle John writes there, "We know also that the Son of God has come." Did you hear that? We know, listen, that many times He says no in this particular passage. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Did you hear that? So that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him. Did you hear that? And we are in Him who is true by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and the eternal life. Every one of us has a desire in us searching for a God. This God that loves you and created this planet in six literal 24-hour days, sent His Son to die, He loves and wants to be known by you. In other words, He gave you 66 love letters. There's not a top secret message in there. In other words, when you open them up, anyone's ever seen some top secret documents where they redact things they don't want you to read? Well, God didn't do that with His Word. He wanted you to understand and know Him completely. 66 love letters that He gave you, He gives you the Holy Spirit's indwelling power to illuminate and teach you as you pray and study His Word. I'd highly encourage you, if you want to know God, then know His Word. So to know God and be known by God begins God with us, meets our needs too, and then next one, the obvious one, you hear me preach it a lot, have all, did you see I put that in red letters? Have all sin and guilt removed. I'll give you another illustration. There was a time during the most horrible persecution of the Jews by the Nazis in Poland, then an old Jewish cemetery keeper came into the cemetery one morning and found that during the night a woman had crept in to an open grave and there gave birth to a son, and she died. He found this child, and he said to himself and to others, "This must be the Messiah, for only the Messiah could choose to be born in a grave." It wasn't the Messiah. But as an indication of what the Messiah came to do, He came to die. He came to be that perfect sacrifice for you and I. His purpose, God's will, His choice was to come as that God-man on Christmas morning some 2,000 years ago to save you from your sins. Dr. Jeremiah said this week, and I'm going to quote him, he said, "He came down so we could go up. He came down so we could go up." Think about that. Too bad I couldn't say that quote was mine. No, just kidding. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, the Apostle Peter writes in his word, he says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things." Listen to this. "For you know," there's that word "know" again. "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed." Did you hear the redemption there? You were paid for. You were bought with a price. from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. Verse 19, listen to this. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Did you hear the price that was paid for your redemption? It cost Jesus his life. He had to die. There was no other way. He had to die. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, listen what it says. Listen what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. That was God's reconciling the world to himself in Christ Jesus. In other words, the idea of reconciliation, there's two enemies that are sitting oppositely on the table of each other. God can't look at you because you're a sinful creature. You're sinful toward God. There's a battle between us and God. Their peace has been broken. Isaiah says it's because of your sins God doesn't hear you. There's only one way that you can be reconciled to God, and it's through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was that mediator. Anyone's ever been in union negotiations before? I've been on both sides of the table of the fire department, with the union president on one side, and then later on as the fire chief. I've been on both sides, and there's many times we had to call in a mediator because there was so much animosity between the two of us. It required some kind of mediation, some type of reconciliation to be established, and that's what Jesus did for you and I. He had to die. The blood had to be applied so we could be made peaceful, we could be reconciled between us and God. So our message, look what it says there. Let me read that verse again, 5:19, 2 Corinthians. And that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ Jesus, not counting people's sins against them. And listen to this. And he has committed to us. I thought all I had to do was just come to church and sit in a chair. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Think about the season we're in. It's not the season of maxing out your credit cards. It's not about debt. It's not about how many presents are under the Christmas tree. It's about one present, and his name is Jesus. That's what Christmas is about. We have forgot that. We have got away from that. This year we get a chance, and it doesn't happen very often, we get a chance to celebrate Christmas on Sunday. To me, that excites me. That makes me bubble over. The day that we celebrate, we recognize, granted the argument is that's probably not the true birth of Jesus Christ because of the season, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about that. It's a time that we celebrate Jesus' birth, the 25th of December. It falls on Sunday this year. Ray and the ladies and anyone else that wants to help with Ray, they're planning a big musical event for us that day. It's a day that we need to celebrate the coming of our Savior. A day of all days we need to be in church. So our message of Christmas to the world, God loves you. God wants to know you. God wants to be a part of you, your life. And you can do that by faith. So God with us meets our need to know God and be known by God. God with us meets our need to have all sin and guilt removed. Then as we go on, God with us meets our need to have God as our constant companion. So many different, when I was in theology classes in seminary, there's so many different beliefs about God and creation. One of the beliefs about God is he basically created and said, okay, see you later. I'll be back when it's time to end it all. You see, I don't believe that's the God of the Bible. I believe the God of the Bible wants us, as you heard earlier, to be known by us and us to know him. He wants us to understand he's a constant companion, especially this time of the year. Especially this time of the year when, especially here in Florida, that I notice so many elderly people, their children are either absent in their life or they're all by themselves. And this time of the year is probably the loneliest time of the year. And this time of the year is the time of the year we need to remember that God is with us no matter how deep the loneliness gets. God is with us. God loves us and God cares about us. Listen to this illustration. Hopefully it brings a smile to your face. A couple had two boys. Maybe you can even relate to it. Maybe you got grandkids that you could probably say, well, I know those two boys. A couple had two boys, 8 and 10, who were always getting into trouble. The parents were certain if any mischief occurred in the community that their two young sons were involved. They were at a loss as what to do about their behavior. Then the mother heard about a minister who had been successful in disciplining children, so she brought the boys to him. The minister asked to see the boys individually, and the youngest went first. The minister set the boy down and asked, "Where is God?" The boy made no attempt to answer. The question was repeated in a sterner voice, "Where's God?" Still no answer. Then a minister shook his finger at the boy and asked in an even sterner voice, "Where is God?" At that, the boy ran from the room into a closet and slammed the door. His older brother followed him in and asked what had happened. The younger brother replied, "We're in trouble this time. God is missing, and they think we did it." Let me ask you a serious question. Is God missing in your life? Is God missing in your life? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, "And God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people." Then he says in Matthew 28:20, as he's getting ready to ascend back to heaven, just after he gave us the Great Commission, he says, "And teaching them to obey everything, listen to this, I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So the God of the Bible is not an absentee God. A God of the Bible is not someone just creates you and say, you know, you're on your own. The God of the Bible walks with you. One of the most beautiful picture I've seen is a picture of Jesus. Behind this person, it was obviously in great distress. Jesus behind this great person. You can see the distress in this person's face. And Jesus was holding them up from behind. Or even another one, when someone asks, you know, "I used to see you walk beside me with, I used to see you walk beside me on the beach, Jesus, but one day, all of a sudden, I only seen one set of footprints." And that's when Jesus said, "That's when I was carrying you." Dr. Tony Evans says, when you hit rock bottom, Jesus is the rock at the bottom. You want to know God? You got to pick up His Word. You got to get active in a small group. You got to pray. You know, you sit there and say, "Well, that sounds like a lot of works, a lot of God things I've got to do." No. When I first met Debbie, I couldn't be without her. Wanted to be with her all the time. Still do today. Matter of fact, my father was notorious for pestering. Did you ever have a father that loved to? I'm talking about, I could be sitting at the breakfast table. He was getting ready to go to work. Anybody knows what a wet willy is? It's where someone sticks their finger in their mouth and sticks it in your ear. I would be eating cereal. I hated school, eating cereal, leaning over the table, doing one of these routines. Dad come by, all of a sudden he'd stick his finger in my ear and then laugh. My dad loved to pester, and I inherited that feature. My wife hates to be pestered, and I love to pester. I keep telling her it's my way of showing affection. She doesn't believe it at times. Anyway, the point of what I'm trying to say is God loves the pester. He wants to be part of your life. He wants to hear from his kids. He wants to hear from his children. The scripture says of him that he actually weeps. The scripture uses it in a physical way, even though we know God is he's a spirit being, but the idea is it's a fancy way of letting humans understand God, saying he has an arm. God doesn't have an arm, or saying God cries. You know, it lets you know who this God, his personality, who this God is. God with us, the greatest hope of all. God with us meets our need to have hope for the future. Think about that. God with us meets our need so we could have hope for the future. Ephesians 1:18, Paul writes there, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. One of the greatest assurances in God's word is what Dr. Jeremiah said. He came down so you could go up. Think about that. No matter how bad this life gets, no matter how bad, no matter how depressed, no matter how much tragedy, no matter how this sinful, fallen world we live in tries to beat us up, God says, I got a home just for you. Watch Jesus say in the book of John, he says, in my Father's house are many rooms. Then he says, it was not so, I would have told you. Then he said, I go there to prepare a place for you, and there where I am, I'll come back and take you there someday. That's God's promise to you and I. Is Jesus missing from your life today? Today, as we begin the Advent season, as we go through these next four themes for the next 4 weeks, with the conclusion on Christmas Day, the celebration of Jesus' birth, join me as we discover through these themes the Jesus of Christmas. Bow your heads with me as we close today. Heavenly Father, Lord, today, your birth, a historical event in history, not a fictional fairy tale. Secular sources, historical writers who had no interest in Christianity wrote of you, wrote of these people who believed in this Jesus. They believed this Jesus came. Wise men, not followers necessarily, but wise in a lot of the pagan beliefs they had, followed the star to find you some 2 years after your birth. Shepherds in a field, angels appearing, glorious time of the year. Father, you were quiet for 400 years, but then, just prior to Christmas, angels were appearing. Prophecies were being fulfilled. Jesus, the baby, was born. You came down, Father, so we could go up. Now, with your heads bowed and all eyes closed, I would be remiss if I didn't offer an invitation. That invitation, as you've heard me say it many times, is somewhat simple, but it's a powerful message. You've heard me say it several times that Paul writes in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, the 9th verse, that if you confess Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a simple process to know God is with you. You must know the God of the manger. I'm going to get quiet. You take this time to meditate. Where do you stand with this Jesus in your life today? Okay, stand with me this morning as we get ready to dismiss in our song, a going out song. If you accepted Jesus Christ, or maybe you're confused about all this I'm saying, get in touch with me. Look in the communicator. There's a way to contact us here in the office, or call and I'll be glad to meet you or anything like that to clear anything up. But the most important thing is to know that Jesus is the Lord of your life. Amen? With that, have a great rest of the week. I'll see you guys Wednesday if you choose to come out and be with us Wednesday evening. Next week again as we continue the Advent season. Come out and celebrate with us. Join and bring your friends, your neighbors. Have them celebrate Christmas with us this year. Ray?